Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Voices Caring for Animals, number 340 shows and counting. And this is just wonderful. Just keep going. And we're on this radio platform, and we're standing up for all the our animal friends in need and distress from all angles. And thanks to all the former guests out there, the amazing, all the informative shows, educational, bringing the awareness, encouraging us to take action. They have been wonderful. The callers out there, thank you so much. And all the listeners, thank you all for tuning in and making Voices Caring for Animals a total success. And we're going to keep going here because the animals are defenseless, helpless, voiceless, and innocent, and they can't speak for themselves. So we are the animals' voices and must be heard. So in order to do that, we got to take that foot in the right direction and take that action, everyone. Contact your state legislators. You know, let them know how you feel. Be professional and polite about it. And you'll get your word over, you know, better and go smooth. And I'm going to give that number out right now, and it is area code 202-224-3121. And during business hours, give your zip code and ask to speak to your state representative or your senator. And after hours and weekends, you can leave a voicemail. And so, you know, keep spreading the word. Keep that number. You can even email your state representatives and senators. You know, go over there and search. Find your state representative or find your state senators. And then you'll have to just put your zip code in. You could type an email out. You could call, make an appointment, you know, write letters. Whatever it takes to make that difference and help with it, because every effort counts out there. And I'm just going to go over a couple things here. My name is Debbie Dahmer, a.k.a. Mama Bear, and I'm on live every Thursday host and producer of Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals. And this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. A big shout out to Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network. That's where the show Voices Carry for Animals originated from, where she was the host first and I was the co-host back in June of 2014. And after five shows, she put me as her host and said, this is your baby now. So anyway, I want to give a big shout out to her. She's got a lot of hot topic shows going on TS Radio Network, and you can find those on the PPJ Gazette online, www.ppjg.me. On the right-hand column, you can, you know, search Voices Carry for Animals and any of the links of the former shows. They're all archived, and you can listen and share 24/7 at the bottom of each promo, okay? And on hers, if you press follow on the right-hand column, it will alert you in your primary email that there's an upcoming broadcast on my shows or hers. Thank you, Marty Oakley, and keep up the great work you're doing. And a big shout-out to my warrior brothers and sisters on Animal Advocate Alliance out there, Gary B., on Facebook and Twitter. Follow on Twitter and Facebook. And there's a website, too. I'm a big part of that, and we're a great team player globally, advocates coming together and posting and getting our word out there and taking action, everyone. So thank you, Animal Advocate Alliance, and a radio show is going to be coming up for them soon, and I'll keep everybody on alert, Gary B., and it's going to be another great show for the animals, and I'm so glad and honored to be a part of them. But I want to go ahead, and all these shows are recorded live. I will be taking calls later out in the show. And it's the same phone number every week, everyone, area code 310-982-4270. Same time and days, Thursdays at 7 o'clock Eastern, listening worldwide. And if you want to call in, you're more than welcome to. And just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board, because the more voices out there and action takers, the better for animal friends in need. And we have to keep these positive changes and the victories coming, and so we can do the happy dance and the victory dance when their lives start changing for the better and their futures. And they so well deserve. They should live in peace and comfort and happiness and free from anxiety and torture and abuse and neglect. So everyone out there, I hope you enjoy the show. A big shout out to all you advocates out there, animal advocates, cross-posters, posters, networkers, all the Twitter followers that I have on out there. Big shout out to all you for sharing this show, and especially on Facebook too. The followers and the friends involved and the faces, you know, the groups and pages, fans of animal rights. Thank you so much. I mean, this list is huge, everyone, on LinkedIn and Pinterest and making it happen. So, everyone, I want to get going with my guest here, and I hope everyone, you know, keep spreading the word about these shows, because it's a radio platform to help our furry friends and four-legged friends in need and distress. And we stand up for all the animals here that need us, okay? So let's not forget them, and let's keep taking that action. Make, you know, every word, you know, every effort that counts out there. So I'm going to bring my guest on. She's coming. She came back. She's the Florida State Director for the Humane Society of the United States, Kate McFaul. And always welcome her back. And Kate, how are you? Welcome back. This is such an honor and a privilege and a pleasure, everything. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be back.
All right. That's good news. I love having these shows, because they're so meaningful and heartfelt, and we're out there doing what we can to help these animals in need out. You know, we can't give up, because if we give up, Kate, we automatically lose. So,
but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's a long road, but we will reach this destination all in good time. You know, that's, we can't give up. Yeah. We got to keep hope alive, right? We got to be optimistic.
Right.
Yes. And
absolutely.
You want to tell the
They're
listeners
counting on
that, oh, yeah, they are, because, you know, they don't have a chance. They can't call the police or say how they feel.
Right.
Or anything like that. So we have to do it for them. And when we, and I see changes coming through, and I know we're not spinning our wheels. We, you know, can't take credit, but when you're involved, it just encourages you to keep going and inspires all of us to be, you know, strong team players, because strong leaders and supporters equal to strong victories. And I know you're in Florida and you're doing everything you possibly can out there to help out this, these, you know, animals in need. But you want to go ahead and tell, just refresh the audience on how, you know, you got started, and then we'll get into the topic of Florida HB 849 and Senate Bill 994, pet protection, pre-exemption bill meant to protect and keep puppy millers in business. That's not good, you know, so go right ahead.
Okay, so,
yes,
I'm the state director for HSUS. I'm at, this April is going to be 10 years. It's really crazy to think about. Been in Florida over 20 years, but, and how, that's a good question, how I got involved and into it. I think it's just being a volunteer. I'm still very active with my local animal shelter. Love it. I highly recommend it, you know, for people to volunteer at their local wildlife rehab or animal shelter, rescue, humane society, all good. I love volunteers because they really make the world a better place for a variety of causes. Of course, my cause is animals, but I volunteers are critical for so many different causes. But I think through my volunteer work, and once I say to people all the time, once you know, you can't unknow. Not that I want to unknow or forget, but once you know the need and you know all that we can do, whether it's on the local level helping that animal in the shelter or advocating for the passage of a bill or a policy, then that's exciting that you can be a part of that. And that's sort of how I got hooked and realizing the significance of it. And we have a lot to do in Florida. We've made some great progress, certainly, but there's still quite a bit yet to be done. So I've been here, yes, it'll be 10 years in April. But as I said, I was a volunteer with HSUS prior to that and always a volunteer with my local shelter.
Yeah, and that's awesome what you're doing, you know, and keep it up, because you're a true inspiration to humans and animals, you know, and that's what it takes. You know, whatever, like you were saying about getting involved with, you know, bills being passed or being a part of it and doing that, you know, like I went on your Facebook page and it asked, you know, for everybody to, you know, take action. And if you can, everybody, please make that call, SB 420, and ask them to bring that up to the committee. And you can get to it from the Humane Society of the United States Florida. And check it out. You know, press like if you haven't seen the page yet. Mm-hmm. And I know, I mean, Humane Society of the United States is huge, Kate. You know, even international. So just spreading the word and taking that action means so much. And it only takes a few minutes to make them calls, you know.
It does. And something I wanted to comment on your great introduction. I loved your tips on reaching out to legislators. I say to people all the time, they are people just like you and I are people, and they have, you
That's
know,
right.
challenges and good days and bad days and all sorts of different things, and they have so many that they have to know, from education, healthcare, banking, insurance, animals, environment. I mean, that's such a big one in Florida. All these different subjects that they try to be and do their best to be well-versed on. Not every legislator is super friendly to us, but most are open to animal welfare, and honestly, most have pets. And if you can make that connection, that's critical. That is super critical. But reaching out to them politely, I cannot stress that enough. In fact, when animal advocates reach out to their lawmakers and they're not polite, or they come with some strange adversarial, demeanor, it actually hurts our cause. And it seems like common sense, but you wouldn't believe how often I hear that. So it's always good to remember. I know we get upset about some of the cruelties. I certainly do. We all do. But it's important to be polite because we actually want them to listen and not just, tune us out. And that seems redundant, but it's just always a good idea. But I loved your tips on reaching out to lawmakers, whether it's email or phone call. I mean, on the state level, a snail mail letter is great, honestly, and even on the local level. So, the county commissioners and city commissioners there's much easier access. And then state lawmakers, they're somewhat, they'll take meetings with you. During session, it's crazy. Florida has a really short session, 60 days, and so it's fast and furious, and they're very, very, very busy. I always tell advocates outside of session, outside of these 60 days, try to get a coffee or a Zoom meeting or an in-person meeting with your state legislator. And if you want kind of the cliff notes, how they've been on our issues, call me, email me. I'll tell you what I know, what they've voted on or haven't voted on, and do my best to kind of help facilitate that, something you might be able to thank them for. What a great thing to thank a lawmaker. And sometimes people call me, what can I thank this person for? What a great way to start. So reaching out to them outside of session is always good. During session, it's a little crazy, although we had a great Humane Lobby Day last week where advocates came to Tallahassee and met with their lawmakers, and that's great. They didn't have much time. That's okay. We made it work, and I was super impressed. But connecting and having those relationships is important because they're just people, whether it's your county commissioner or your state lawmaker. And federal is different, up in D.C. that, Congress, I don't work, HSUS does, of course, but I don't. Here in Florida, I just focus on state legislation. And we definitely have our hands full. But it's good. It's really good. So I appreciated your tips that you mentioned to your listeners about, polite and connecting and reaching out in a variety of ways to our decision makers. I say to people all the time, they are making decisions on animal protection, whether they hear from us or not. And we want them to hear from us because we know the other side is talking to them, right? The industries and the people who exploit animals for money are definitely bending their ears. So we want to, do the same politely and get our points in and help them, give them the information that they are not getting from the other side. And most lawmakers really appreciate that. So it's a great way to start.
Oh, yeah, and it's important. I mean, that's where the changes start out at. And if we connect, they are we the people, too, after hours. So, and when they're right. Animal lovers, that's even better yet. So, when you're calling, and I do it myself, Kate, I write emails and call them and whatever it takes, sign petitions, I will, and share them, too. That's so important. The more people getting involved, the chain reaction. Mm-hmm. One of the big supporters of the show, Ray Bittner, she's always saying, strength in numbers, and that's so true, Kate. I mean, so true, mm-hmm. because the more of us come together, the stronger we become. If we're quiet and we stand still, we're only spinning our wheels. So everyone out there, please spread the word. Your voice matters. Your actions matter. And the more mm-hmm. of us come together, the faster the changes. And because the animals, there's a lot of them that suffer until these victories hit. And it's sad, but these victories are not going to happen overnight. We only wish they would, right, Kate? I mean, it's something that we have to work on to become stronger because even, mm-hmm. 10 minutes of suffering is too much for an animal. I mean, just look at us. We get a headache, and we want to run in the room and get some aspirin, It's pretty madness what a lot of them going through. I know if I have a headache, I'm getting aspirin right now, so.
Right.
We have to look at that and put ourselves in their paws or feet and say, hey, we need to do something here. and take care of business and let them live in peace and freedom and comfort. And yeah, whoa.
You're so right.
That's
about
what they
the
deserve.
Empathy factor. It is what they deserve, and you're so right about, you know, teaching empathy to children and to adults, I suppose, but obviously better if they're younger, but to be able to put yourself in someone else's shoes or pause, as you said, to feel for that other being and to just have some empathy is very, very important on for a variety of causes, certainly for ours. And it's not always our top talking point, but it is part of it. And we do both because some people really care about animals and we say, well, this is just cruelty. Let me tell you about it. And that's horrifying to a lot of people. But the practical business sense or the consumer protection like it is in puppy mills is a very important talking point. Or this is a money saver. And that, you know, that they can compute probably more readily. Although faced with their animal, I would say 99.9 of lawmakers are right there with us if it's their animal. But talking about these causes, you know, in general, it takes a little more work to get them there. But they, the business side or the practical side, and again, in this case, the consumer protection, is also a really important talking point and is compelling. And that's something the advocate should remember both, not just the compassion part, which is what drives us, drives me. I know it does, but both. And so if it's okay with you, I'd love to just jump into the puppy mill stuff, if that's okay.
Yes, definitely. Yes, it's so important. Okay. We was talking about that earlier. It's like, hey, let's get rid of the puppy mills. These animals are suffering in them. I mean, they're crowded. They can't move. And that's animal cruelty in the first degree, Kate, you know. But go ahead and we'll start out and about the puppy mills.
Sure. But no, but you're right. And people know that. So many people, if you say puppy mill, they know that that's a bad thing. They say, oh, no, that's bad, that's bad. But what they may not connect or don't wish to connect is that a retail pet store, that's where those puppies come from, is a puppy mill. That now responsible breeders are completely separate, and we work with responsible breeders. Of course, we promote pet adoption, go to a shelter, rescue, adopt your pet. And if that doesn't work, then go to a responsible breeder where you meet the parents and you get their medical history, and that breeder wants to check you out and make sure it's the right fit for that puppy, that you or your family is the right fit for that puppy, all those things that go with being a responsible breeder. Those are different. A pet store, it's basically anybody walking with a credit card. And those puppies in the store are from puppy mills, and we know that. Florida has been very successful. It's 83 ordinances to date in Florida. That's a lot. Advocates all over the state have been working for many, many years to pass ordinances that phase out and prohibit the retail sale of pets. And we're proud of that, as we should be. We had really great leadership in Orange County and Manatee County this summer. Both counties passed significant ordinances that they had been considering for years, off and on for, you know, a variety of years, different commissioners, many the same, but others, you know, coming and going. And they finally, after a lot of consideration and thought, passed two ordinances, one each county, that would phase out the retail sale of pets over 1 year, which is a long time, but that was palatable to others. So we're thrilled. Orange County was in June, the end of June, and Manatee was in August. And again, it would be a year, and they would phase them out and then say that these stores had to sell goods and supplies and grooming and other things. Not that they had to go out of business, but that they could not sell dogs and cats in Orange County and included rabbits, thankfully. So there's Petland has for many years has pitched bills up here in Tallahassee, actually since 2017, that would preempt local municipalities, city or county, from passing an ordinance like that, saying this is going to happen on the state level so that local county commissions and city commissions could not do an ordinance, pass an ordinance like these two I just mentioned and like 80 others. And we've been successful in defeating these preemption bills, but this year's preemption bill is really stronger, and I think that Petland, we will defeat it, rest assured, but it's a lot of work. But Petland has an army of lobbyists, and the challenge with this bill is it's called pet protection. So it's misleading to lawmakers who really, I mean, it's intentionally misleading, and it's designed to look like it regulates this industry. It's doing right by the animals, and it's actually protecting the puppy mill industry. So it's very misleading, and it has all this fluffy stuff and some good things, and talks about licensing and being licensed under the DPVR and solid flooring and enrichment and climate control and all these things. And then it says, oh, and by the way, the ordinances that were in place before June 2021 can stay, which would take away these two really critical ordinances that passed this summer that I just mentioned, Orange and Manatee County. So it would remove those and then and also prevent any future ordinance. So it's very damaging because it would take away these two really powerful ordinances that passed, but also in the future going forward, no more. So we're fighting this. And again, it is confusing because it's called pet protection. Many lawmakers, and it's got all these pages of good things that look like good things. And it's intentionally that way, which just, you know, the only people who are on that side are the industry. No one is for that, you know, the retail sale. And obviously, and the other neat thing is all of the animal groups, all the different animal groups, I like to think that we may not agree on other subjects, but we're all have each other's back and be positive. That's how I am, and I wish, you know, and for the most part, everyone is like that. While we disagree on some of the fine-tuning of animal protection. But in this case, we are all on the same page. All the big animal groups do not support, you know, we're supporting getting rid of the retail sale of pets. I mean, that says something. That says a lot. So we are fighting this very hard, and I feel like we are going to defeat it, but it's been a challenge and a ton of education for our lawmakers. In fact, there were two legislators who signed on to co-sponsor this bill. They didn't realize that it was bad because, again, it's called pet protection. So these lawmakers signed on to support it, but then once they realized what it was really about, they, you know, they withdrew their co-sponsorship, thankfully. But and if I were a lawmaker, that would kind of get under my skin if I felt like somebody was trying to mislead me. But I couldn't and wouldn't speak for them. But it's intentionally misleading, which is unfortunate. But in this case, I think the good guys, that would be the animal protection folks, will prevail. But the other piece that we cannot forget is the consumer protection. So when we worked with the counties this summer, the people came out of the woodwork. I mean, we have pages and pages. In fact, Florida has more consumer complaints from puppy buyers than any other state in the country. Wow. And we had pages of people who bought a puppy and puppy was so sick I spent, you know, $15,000 that I didn't have. I had to borrow money and my credit is ruined and, you know, on and on. And sometimes the puppy died, sometimes the puppy lived. Now this person is strapped with all of this, all these vet bills, and it's a big deal. And in fact, it's such a big deal that our Attorney General, Ashley Moody, has an ongoing investigation still to this day on a pet land in Orange County. That's, you know, that's a high bar to meet for it to warrant her office's to do an investigation. So that really speaks volumes. But so the consumer protection, and there's predatory lending practices. Don't worry, if you can do $50 a month or a week, you get this credit card with this astronomical, you know, interest rate. I mean, it's just horrifying, the predatory lending, and it's just unethical. It's a very, very dirty business. And more lawmakers are seeing the light, and they're getting it. They really are. Even if that cute little puppy in the window, of course it's not that puppy's fault. The puppy is cute. But by supporting that, you're supporting the puppy mill industry, which is, you know, supporting cruelty and, you know, the consumer protection angle, which is, you know, very, very, it's significant. And we're fortunate that Ashley Moody's office is doing that investigation because it speaks volumes when speaking with lawmakers that investigation is still going on because they don't do that for everything. They you know, if it's a significant enough case, then they will proceed. And that's where that is. So it will be interesting to see when that concludes, but it's still ongoing.
Whoa.
Right.
What's going on behind the scenes, you know?
Oh, yeah, there's so much. Kate. There's so much. I could talk like all day, but it's in summary, this is a bad bill that is trying to preempt our work on the local level and basically saying to our city and county commissioners, we know better, you know, you're not doing this. And I think lawmakers are seeing that and they're not supporting it. And we have several allies that we're not, you know, fooled by this, that are already on our side and get it, Republicans and Democrats. I mean, that's the neat thing about what I do is animal issues do not have, you know, party lines. There are people who love animals and who want to help them on all parties. So that's a fortunate thing. But those who didn't know are, you know, we're working hard to educate them. And again, the misleading factor is hopefully they'll see the light and when they come back again next year, because they will come back again next year. This has been the fifth year. And some years they just try to tack it on to another bill, just stick it in there so that it's not – this is the first year it's been as big and large and a prominent of a bill with this title. And I feel that we are going to defeat it, but it's been, you know, quite a bit of work. And we've got commercials. I don't know if anybody's seen our ads. We've got awesome ads on television, really good. So really proud of the work of our puppy mill team. It's extraordinary at AKSUS.
Yes, and anybody, all the residents or constituents, citizens from Florida, if you can please call your state reps and senators and tell them to vote no on Florida House Bill 8449, Pet Protection, and Senate Bill 994, Pet Protection, okay? And please spread the word. I do have the information on the PPJ Gazette on there, and also on the Blog Talk Radio promo, and also will be posted in the group Voices Care for Animals support group on Facebook. I'm going to be sharing that all over, Kate, okay, and getting some calls in, because that's what it takes. It takes teamwork and, you know, posting it on, you know, like LinkedIn and Pinterest, Twitter, you know, and keep resharing it, because not everybody's on social media the same time and days. So you'll see my stuff coming in through, you know, again and again. And but please do that, everyone. Let's see this pet protection, so-called. Let's see it go. This bill go out the window, okay? And it's not good. We have to look out for the real protection of the pets and let them live comfortably, you know. And, Kate, all these shelters, they're putting down animals left and right, you know, and it's so sad because of overcrowding. And when you hear that they're putting them in the pet stores, that's fine, you know. Let them give that chance because, so, I mean, millions a year are getting put down because of overcrowding. And it's not no certain age. It's all of them, you know, that's where the overcrowding
is.
It
boggles my mind. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember preaching about this, you know, to my parents, and they were like, oh, okay, and they got it. I mean, and that was, you know, a while ago. How in this day and age, I'm still surprised how many people don't adopt, you know, even if they have a certain breed. It's just stunning, and it, you know, we've come so far, and so much. Our shelters in Florida are doing incredible work. We have a great network of really strong shelters, and we, you know, work with some of the rural counties that have more limited resources, and it's getting better and better every day. We've got really good, you know, through FAWA and FACA, they're doing incredible work. But there's a lot of animals. Anyone who says that we don't, I mean, that may be up north, but this is, we're not up north, and we have tons. My shelter here is very full, very full. And so, yes, that's where people should go. We push that. We preach that. We believe it. Of course, I foster for my local shelter, and I volunteer there, but I always have a foster dog. It's critical. And I actually have a foster cat at the moment, too. So there's plenty. And you know, there's breed-specific. If somebody has to have their certain breed, we have, you know, breed-specific rescues. But the opposition often uses that as a talking point to say, well, they just want, they meaning us, our side, just want everyone to adopt. And if I want a purebred, then they're telling me I can't. And this is a free country. And so we are very careful in saying that. So, yes, we promote adoption. That's the best option. And if you try that and it doesn't work, then go to a responsible breeder. So our response back to that is, no, we're not trying to make it so that everybody has to adopt, we push that and encourage that. But people can still go to responsible breeders. It's not saying once we get rid of the retail sale of pets, nobody can ever get a purebred animal anymore. That's not true. Of course, you can get purebreds from the shelter anyway. But you get the point. And so something we're careful. We're certainly careful about not feeding into that talking point, and that, sure, responsible breeders are on our side of it. And they are. In fact, it's in their code of ethics not to sell their puppies to a store. If you ask a responsible breeder, hey, would you sell this litter of puppies to a pet store? I mean, they'll look at you like you've lost your mind. Heck no, they won't, because, you know, they know that it's somebody whoever walks in with a credit card. And if you've ever fostered, you know, you want to check them out, make sure it's the right fit. I mean, you know, I go on, and people are like, okay, but you care. And that's what a responsible breeder does. It's not just whoever whips out the credit card. And so that's why they would look at you like you've lost your mind. And, again, it's in their code of ethics. They don't do that. And that's a good thing. So there's a big difference in a responsible breeder versus a store. So we're careful about that point, because the opposition will say we're just trying to get rid of all purchasing of purebreds, which isn't true. So it's in all the topics and subjects, and I work on so many different animal protection issues, from, you know, manatees and other wildlife to, you know, greyhounds and, cruelty and animal fighting and all these different things. And, of course, puppy mills. This one's a little bit more complicated because you don't see the mill, because most of the puppy mills are in other states, you know, in the Midwest, and they're trucked in to Florida, which is a long and arduous trip, and these puppies are sick. It's very hard on them. So it's not always so visible to the buyer. And cruel, of course, yes, no kidding. Right. So
they deserve so much better all the time. And we got a caller, area code 917. You want ready to take calls? Other great, Kate?
Sure.
That's what I'm calling you, because you are great. And area code 917, you're live and on the air. Thank you for calling Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals. Go right ahead. You have any comments or questions for Kate? If you're in the queue, press 1 to let me alert me that you want to talk. Hello? You're live and on the air. Okay, hold on 1 second. I got him in the screen room. We got another caller calling in from 845. Go ahead. You're live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hello? Oh, hi.
Yes,
I wanted to ask Kate, thank you, first of all, for joining this and speaking out about this. And I wanted to ask, I'm from New York, and what would I be able to call my representative? Would that have any help in Florida?
Well, that's a good question, and it probably would not, but they're very related. New York and Florida are so similar in many, many ways. And your state director, you probably know already, is Brian Shapiro. He's amazing. And he does incredible work in New York. And we've been kind of tied in so many of these puppy mill related issues. So I would reach out to him and see what's, you know, some of the issues on the state level, unless you've moved here, which is common these days since COVID. So many people are moving here every day, but if you still live in New York, then, you know, your best bet is to, you know, connect with New York folks. If you have family here or some connection here or a business here, then sure, you've got that talking point to connect with that, with your lawmaker here in Florida. But otherwise, then, you know, I would say the New York, you know, your New York connection is the strongest.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Sure. Thank you for caring about these issues and for calling.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you.
Always.
Yeah, thanks, and hope you listen in more. You know, call in anytime. The more voices, the better. And if you know anybody in Florida, just give them the website, the Humane Society of the United States-Florida on Facebook, and there's a lot of information on there, okay, where they can take action. And I'm going to be sharing
Will
that
do.
To Kate, okay? Yes.
Great. Yes.
Because I know a lot of you know, friends, family in Florida, so and down here, so
everybody
I'm going to be sharing it
somewhere.
Yeah. That's true. But thank you for calling in, okay? And stay involved with us, and we'll get places, you know. It takes all of us to come together and take that action. See the victories coming in. Yes. And I got another caller if you want to stay on air.
Okay.
Area code 724, you're live and on the air. Go right ahead. Got any questions or comments for Kate?
Nope. Hi, Debbie. It's Diane.
Hey, Diane. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
Sure. I've been listening to this. Wow. Kate's amazing. She's on it. She's good.
Thank you.
Yes, she is.
I wanted to ask something. I know you're in Florida, but I live in Pennsylvania, and unfortunately Lancaster is not far from me, and the Amish. Are you aware of them?
Oh, heck yeah.
Is there anything that you can do to help? Because it's terrible. It's bad.
Right. And it is, and actually I've been here since 1999, but I'm born and raised in New Jersey, actually born in Abington, Pennsylvania. And so I'm very familiar with that. But I will say this, and I know I plugged them before, but it's genuine. Our puppy mills team is amazing at HSUS, and, you know, J.P. Goodwin and Amy Jesse and their folks are really amazing. I would say, I mean, yes, Pennsylvania is one. Missouri is another one. There's so many. Iowa, I mean, where these giant puppy mills happen. And that's a talking point that we say here in Florida. I mean, sure, there's maybe a handful, but there's not too many mills in Florida, probably the heat and some other things. It's not as much of an ag in that sense state, but they're another state, and that's part of the challenge is we have to regulate on the retail sales front because we can't regulate what's happening in Iowa. In a warehouse in a puppy mill in Iowa or in Pennsylvania, for that matter. But I would connect with, JP and Amy from our puppy mills team about, you know, what's happening in Pennsylvania. And we're always working on the federal level, but that's like a slow boat to China. You guys know that. And although a couple of things have happened in the last several years, but it's challenging, on that front. And the states who need it most, where these mills are often the big ag states where the passage of some additional protections are harder and less likely than in other states. So,
sure that we'll ever be able to abolish it from the Amish because dogs are legally considered livestock to them, and they're treated the same way as any other livestock animal. And also, a lot of them are licensed by the USDA. That's scary. That's horrific.
Well, that's one of our talking points is the USDA is, I mean, that's part of this bill. They make it sound like, oh, that's a good thing. And of course, it's not. It's very minimal standards. And the USDA says that themselves, that their standards are bare bones, basic, not humane standards. And they're not. In fact, one of the points in this bill, it says, oh, well, if this individual, this breeder has had a direct violation, you can't get from a breeder to have a direct violation. Well, the USDA uses the term critical. They don't use the term direct anymore. So, again, it's a moot point in terms of this particular bill citing, oh, well, that makes sense. Well, if they have a violation, then you can't buy from them, so we'll just get from the good ones. No, they don't even use that term. So the USDA has got it's very weak. Their standards and their enforcement are extremely weak.
Mm. Yeah. Well, there was another thing I wanted to ask you. Is there a relationship between puppy mills and backyard breeders?
That's like a whole separate day workshop. No, I'm kidding. Sure. I mean, and puppy mill is just a commercial breeder that has more interest in profit than has no regard for the welfare of the animals. And that can be a variety of sizes. People want an exact number. Well, if it meets this deadline, it's a puppy mill. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Well, it's not like that. It's when they put profit over welfare of the animals. And so we know what a puppy mill is. A backyard breeder could be, usually on a smaller scale, irresponsible breeder is what many around here might refer to them And, you know, in Florida, there's so many different local ordinances pertaining to breeding, not where I live, but in other parts of Florida. So it depends, but they are different. Neither is, you know, something we support, but they are different. And typically, you know, puppy mills are larger, but it really is putting the profit over the welfare of the animal.
Wow. It's so sad. And one last thing. Is it true that Petco and such of those places do sell puppy mill dogs, or you don't know where?
No, Petco and PetSmart do not. They do not.
They don't.
And no, they have adoption. They're great adoption partners. Petland is the largest chain that does sell puppies. Although there are 8 stores nationwide that do not sell puppies, that just sell supplies and goods. And that's a talking point that they can, that viable, it's a good business model without selling the puppies. But yeah, the Petland may be what you're thinking, but Petco and PetSmart are good. We work with them very closely.
Thank you, because I know that's been going around for quite a while now, and I never knew if it was true or not. So now if somebody brings it up, I can tell them.
Right, yes, yes. Good question. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Really
yes,
honest.
I am.
Yeah.
And thanks for calling in, Diane. You're always a great supporter of this show. She's a former guest. We Love Pit Bulls on Facebook, and she has like over 50 groups on Facebook. I call her the Facebook Queen.
I have one called Puppy Mills.
Oh my goodness.
I was going to ask you, and I said, no, I know she does.
I do.
I love the bully breeds also, and have several. And there's a bill this session in Florida that that Best Friends is running, and we are strongly supporting. That is a great bill that has to do with bully breeds and not profiling, which of course it is, in public housing. I can send you more information on it. I'm sure it's on their website, and it's a really good bill, making some headway in this fast and furious legislative session here in Florida. So we love that bill.
That's good. That's good news, you know.
Yeah.
I know in Miami, they're still banned down there, Kate.
They are. That was grandfathered in, that one. And this bill would also take away the grandfathering, which is amazing, absolutely amazing. But, yeah, there's a law, I talk about preemption, that preempts local municipalities from passing, so the shoe's on the other foot on this one, for having any policy based on breed, which is smart, whether it's muzzle or insurance or fence height or banning. But Miami-Dade was grandfathered in. It was in place prior to this. So this bill that Best Friends is working on would remove the grandfathering. So it's good things happening.
Good. You hear the good news coming, you know. Keep the victories coming. So we can all do the victory and happy dance.
Somebody's happy about it.
Hey, the louder you bark, the more you're heard.
He said he's against something else too.
See? Good.
I'm sorry about that.
They want part of the conversation, you know?
Hey, we understand what they say, right?
Oh, yeah. We communicate with them at all, right? Yep. And spoil them and all kind of stuff. So, you know, when they're not talking to you, or, you know, when you're not talking to them right away, they know and they get mad.
Yeah.
They're used to you talking to them, right? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Right? Get hit with a paw or something. Yep, they're awesome. Animals are so awesome, and it's so worth standing up for them. You know, it's they deserve the best. All of them deserve better.
They
better
do.
Lives and futures, and treated
and we're obligated
with dignity and respect. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I feel
That's
sad
right.
for people that don't have that empathy. If they don't if they're driving down the road, they see a turtle in the road, they don't stop. I mean, I, of course, would stop traffic and, you know, share my thoughts with that driver who doesn't stop. If I could reach them, I would, you know, would love to have a sit down and talk to them about how important it is. But aside from that, it's sad if they're missing that link. And I knew somebody that was missing that link, and it's, you know, it's sad for them, but of course sad for the animals. But if you're like we are, and we know that how important it is, then speak up, stand up, you know, stop, you know, safely for that animal in the road, that turtle or that dog who needs you, or whatever it is, or educate that person on not buying from a store, you know, not buying a puppy from a store, and on. But I think that they do need us, and those of us who know and get it must speak up. I feel like we have no choice, and I like that choice anyway, but we should, and we must.
Yeah.
You know, politely, always politely. I know I keep saying that,
yes.
And people, my friends tease me about that. They've started really teasing me about it. But I see it all the time, and it you know, makes my job harder. So there's a reason why I keep saying it, because it's really important. But it's just a reminder. And I want to mention one other bill that I think you both will be interested in that I'm working really hard on, and that was the alert that I put out there today that you mentioned, Debbie, and that's a really good animal abuse bill that would make the sexual abuse of animals a felony in Florida, because it's only a misdemeanor. And the neat thing about it is that the sexual abuse of animals is it's the number one predictor for the sexual abuse of children. So we're talking about empathy and realizing it and the connection. That's a big one. There's a huge connection there with this form of cruelty with animals and people and children. And that gets a lot of attention. So we're working hard on that one as well, that would protect a lot of animals and kids. We think it's super important. And there's 26 states where it's a felony. Florida, you know, it's time for Florida to catch up.
Yes,
so, and
definitely.
Dogs and horses are the most abused in that way. So there's, you know, there's that carryover. But like you said, they need us, and they can't speak. They can't text, you know, and they can't, you know, call the police or tell their parents. Right? Or, you know, send a text message to the neighbor. Need help over here. That's what we need to do. So
that's right. We got to step in their paws or feet and do something and say, hey, this is a no-no, and I'm not accepting it. It's totally unacceptable, and I'm stepping up to the plate and helping out, because the audience out there, all of our voices do matter. You know, all lives matter, including all the animals, and they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. You know, we're all here on this earth temporary. Let's make the best of it and do what's right, you know, out there. And adopt, don't shop. Visit your local shelter and meet your new best friend or furry loved one or loved ones, you know, and give them that chance, because it's so heartbreaking. Because I know all these cross posters and networkers, a big shout out to them to get these animals to safety and adopted, rescued.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the ones that didn't make it, and it's so sad. You know, they'll put to sleep, euthanize, and it's so sad. And it's like, what do we do? I mean, can we do something better here? You know, adopt, don't shop, you know, spay and neuter your pets. There's so many, you know, there's solutions out there, everyone, that we can help stop all this killing per year. You're putting them down, you know, healthy, adoptable animals.
And, you know, the
shelter
folks don't want to do it either. They hate that. Of course they hate that. And so
you're
right about all the transports. They're all going on all the time in Florida, all the time. And trying to help get them from A to B and B to C and on and on. And but that still does happen. You're so right. And it's could be avoided if people would adopt.
That's right. And then and take that time. And if you hear one of your relatives, family members are looking for a pet, tell them to go to the local shelter. You know, I mean, even foster, spend time with them. And when children learn, you know, dignity and respect to how to treat animals when they're young, they start out going through adulthood and moving into treating them the same, you know, with dignity and respect. You know, so we got to work on these solutions to bring this down, because there is, across the United States, there's millions of healthy, adoptable animals getting put down, everyone. And it's so sad. I mean, we got to have some more adoption events. I've even seen them, you know, Kate, going through the newspaper, you know, this pet or the pet of the week up for adoption or on the news channels. And that's great ideas. And have these shelters put more adoption events, you know, fair pricing and stuff like that. Because, I mean, we can beat this. We can beat all these animals getting put down and see a massive – we're never going to see zero, down to zero killing, but, you know, at least can massively decrease. And hear the good news, because it's so sad. I know you've seen those photos where, you know, they're taking the dog for the last step, you know, and it's so heartbreaking. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, so everyone, we do need more kindness in this world, more compassion towards animals. You know, there's a lot of animal lovers out there, right, Kate? I mean, tons, organizations, and activists. And but we do need more kindness in this world, compassion. You know, it doesn't take anything to be kind to an animal or human. Nothing. I mean, not even a dime. So, you know, whatever you can do out there, all your actions do count. And you're being a positive impact in this world. Look at great Kate, what she's doing out there. I mean, she's taking some meaningful time and helping them out. You know, look at Diane with the pit bulls. You know, Mama Cat, she's got 125 cats that she looks after in colonies. I mean, all this adds up to helping the animals out and putting a little love in your heart and doing your part. So, you know, whatever it takes, be a positive impact and not a negative impact and do nothing. Because when you do nothing, that means the problems will worsen. And we don't want that. You know, I know having this radio platform almost going on 8 years at the end of June, I know I'm not spinning my wheels because I enjoy doing it. I know I'm doing something meaningful to help out the animals in need and distress. You know, the children, the animals, and elderly, you know, they're defenseless and helpless, voiceless. So we have to step up to the plate and help them. You know, I stand up for the elderly too, and that needs a lot of room for improvement, a lot of help in that area, help stop elder abuse.
I agree with you there.
Facebook.
Yep.
Yes. And look at them. And, Kate, we're all going to get up to the elderly, you know, if God's willing.
Of course. If we're lucky, we'll all be old. And
if we're lucky,
we'll be
that's
right.
And it's not a pretty picture out there for them. And so we have to look at that and say, hey, cross over. I see so many, I do it myself, I cross over, you know, help out elderly, animals, children, whatever it takes, multitask, because I gotten so fast that, you know, that I could do a lot in 1 hour time, and I just get better, you know, hey, wherever I need to be and need to help out, I'll be there, because this radio program is not the only thing I do to help out, so.
Sure.
Yep. So
well, we love it.
Okay, ladies, and I want to
thank you,
Kate. We're down to 90 seconds here. Thank you for so much for coming back on air, and looking forward to having you back on again, everyone. Florida State Director for the Humane Society of the United States, HSUS, and another great show, Kate. And keep it up. Stay in touch, and I'm gonna be, you know, contacting you again. And I hope these bills will fail Florida HB 849 and Senate Bill 994. Everyone, do your part. Go to their Facebook page. There's info how you can take action there, okay? And plus, it's going to be posted on my page. But thank you, Diane, for calling in and being big part of Voices Carry for Animals. And also the caller calling, I didn't get her name, but thank you for calling in. Mama Cat, I know you're listening in. Thank you for all you do and all your support. And my mother, Pat, a.k.a. Moo, she's listening this evening. Love you, Mom. My beautiful mother inside and out, big support of the show. And everyone, thank you for tuning in. Next week will be Justin Goodman. He's the vice president of White Coat Waste Project. We'll be discussing animal testing. A lot of taxpayers' money is going towards animal cruelty, everyone, so please tune in. And what you can do, we're going to welcome him aboard. They've been on the show before, but Justin Goodman, we're going to welcome him in. And everyone, thanks for tuning in. And hope you tune in next week and have a nice and peaceful evening. And may God bless you all. Good night, Kate. Good night, Diane.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you all for tuning in. Good night. Big hug.